endeavor, my praise and my worship belongs to you.
Belongs to you.
Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, my praise, my worship, my song belongs to you.
Belongs to you.
It forever will belong to you, my God. It belongs to you. It belongs to you. It belongs to you, oh God. It belongs
to you.
Forever and forever I say yes. Yes to your will. Yes to your way. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
I surrender.
I surrender. I'm in the yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes. Yeah, 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 yeah.
I turn yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yes. Yes. It all belongs to you.
Forever and ever. Yes, it will belong to you, oh God.
Yes.
I surrender. It belongs to you. Forever. It all belongs to you. Belongs to you. My heart, my mind, my soul belongs to you. My life, it all belongs to you. It all belongs. It all belongs to you, God. It all belongs to you. It belongs to you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Why don't you lift up both hands to heaven? Please rise to your feet and say, Lord, I surrender it all unto you. My mind, my life, my soul, my all, my wife, my husband, my children, my house, my money, my car, everything that I am, it all belongs to you, Lord. Because you are the giver of every good gift, you are a good God. Lift up your hand and just worship the Lord. Worship Him, give Him praise this morning. He's the all-sufficient God. He's the I am that I am, the God who was, the God who is, the God that will be forevermore. Blessed be your name, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have worship. I want you to please open to Jeremiah, and they'll pull it up on the screen. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. And here God is speaking, and He's speaking to somebody here today. And He wants you to know this, like you know yourself, like you know your name. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3 says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, this is what the Lord is saying about somebody here today. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. Listen to me. God is saying, my love for you is not subjective. He's saying the love I have for you is an everlasting kind of love. What that means indirectly is that I am the one that can turn my back on God. God is saying, I will not turn on you. He's saying, I will not give up on you. He's saying, I love you. And my love for you is not conditional. My love is everlasting. Isn't that exciting? Is that exciting for anybody this morning? These are some of the things that just completely blows my mind away when I think about God. His love for me. Listen to me. God knows where I have been. God knows where you have been. We see you looking all pretty today, but God knows the things that you have done. And yet he says, I love you. And I don't love you today. I don't love you yesterday. I love you with an everlasting kind of love. A love that lasts forever. Lift up both hands to heaven and just give praise to God. Worship him. Give him praise. Magnify the name of the Lord. Exalt him on high. He is a good God. He's a faithful God. He's a kind God. He's a loving God. Your mercy endureth forever. Lord, we thank you. Gracious Father, we love you, Lord. I give you praise and I adore you. Lord, the next few minutes we're going to spend to exalt ourselves. Father, I pray that you will speak to every heart in the mighty name of Jesus. Yes, Lord, the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but safety belongs to you. Yes, Lord, I have planned, I have prepared, but Lord, I say, have your way. Let your will be done. Lord, I step out of the way that your will be done. In the mighty name of Jesus. In spite of preparation, in spite of planning, Lord, just do what you alone can do. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want you to give your neighbor a high five for me. Say, neighbor, you're looking good. Say, neighbor, you're really looking good. And if that is your husband or your wife, you better hug them. Let them know that you mean it. Don't let them feel like you are obeying an instruction. Do it lovingly. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. You may please be seated. Let's put our hands together for the choir, please. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If they walk by you, high five them. Tell them, good job, good job, good job. God bless you. Good job, good job, good job, good job. Amen. It's all good news today. Hallelujah. The first lady sends her greetings. She's still over there in Mexico. And the meetings so far have just been spectacular. It's just been spectacular. She called me this morning and she was just going to bed because they wouldn't let her sleep. Praise the Lord. But I know God has something for us today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Like it was said earlier on, today is the last Sunday in the month of October in the year of our Lord 2013. And we thank God for how far the Lord has brought us. January, February, March, April, now October is over. It's almost unbelievable for me. It's like the year is just racing by. The year is just racing by. But you know what? When the year is racing by, it means God is doing good things. When it looks like it's taking forever, it means things are not going well. And if anybody is feeling like the year is taking forever to end, the Lord will change your story today. In the name of Jesus. So good to see you in church. Our theme for the month of October is trust and obey. One of the things I have realized is when God begins to speak to you in a certain way, it means it's about to do those certain things in your life. In this month of October, personally, I have had situations that I truly had to trust in God and obey him. Amen. And I'm sure some of you will have experienced that too. You know, so I want you to know that there is benefit in obedience. And you will reap the reward of obedience in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The fact of life is that many people find it difficult to trust God. I don't want to embarrass anybody. I could say, by a show of hands, let's see how many people find it difficult to trust God. But it is really difficult for a lot of people to trust God. And the reason is largely because we don't know enough of God to trust him. Amen. If somebody walks in, you know, maybe wearing jeans, shorts, you know, and a t-shirt, you know, and it's we are trying to raise an offering or something, and the guy says, okay, I give $1 million. Everybody will say, when the money enters the account, we will agree with you. Praise the Lord. Like it happened in camp. There was an offering that was being raised, and a gentleman came out in T-shirt and jeans and wrote a check for $100,000. Unprepared. It was not something he prepared for. Friends, if we know God, we will trust God. One of the problems we have as believers is we don't know God enough to want to trust God. But I pray that God will continue to make himself known to us in the mighty name of Jesus. The more of him we know, the more we're going to trust him. Today, by the grace of God, I'll be talking to us on what I have called fighting your fear. Fighting your fear. When you look in the dictionary, one of the synonyms of trust, it means words that are similar to trust, is faith. And the opposite of faith is fear. So, in actual fact, fear might be one of the reasons why we can't trust God. So I say, what if I trust God and it doesn't come to pass? Then what happens to me? So I'm afraid. And because of that fear, I refuse to trust God. There are many different kinds of fear that have been diagnosed by scientists. Can we see the slide on phobia, please? Fear has been described as an emotion induced by a perceived threat, whether or not the threat is real. So let's look at a few fears that have been diagnosed. So there's a fear of speaking in public that is called glossophobia. Listen, there are many intelligent people, very sound, they know their stuff, but the moment you give them the microphone to stand before people, they just freeze up. They go, their heart begins to race. They know what they want to say, but they just can't get the words out. It's called glossophobia. They just get tongue-tied. That's fear of speaking in public. Next slide, please. And then you have hypengaiphobia. That's the fear of responsibility. Some people will just say, you just lead, I follow you, anything you want to do, when I'm available, I'll do it for you. They don't like to take responsibility for anything. If you are afraid of responsibility, the scientists call you that you have hypengaiphobia. Next slide, please. Then you have gynophobia, fear of women. This is why some people have remained bachelors for a long time, because they can't just talk to the ladies. Praise the Lord. I didn't have this fear. No, I did not. But my pastor thought I did, because it took me a while before I got married. He said, well, you know, if you can't talk to them, just let me know which one you are interested in. We will talk to them on your behalf. Whatever they say, we will bring the news back to you. Gynophobia. Next slide, please. And then this is the fear of stepmother. Novakaphobia. See, everything has a name. Next slide, please. And this is interesting. This is pantherophobia, the fear of your mother-in-law. A lot of men, women are always, you know, about mother-in-laws. They don't mind their own mom coming. It's just the mother-in-law. Next slide, please. Decidophobia. That's the fear of decision-making. Some people just can't make up their mind what to do. Should I go? Should I not go? Should I do it? Should I not do it? And they keep oscillating back and forth. Next slide, please. Ecclesiophobia. This is the fear of church. Some people are not in church today because they are afraid. You know why they are afraid? Maybe they will say something that will prick my conscience. And they are not ready for change yet. Next slide, please. But thank God that you are here. It means you are ready for change. And then you have stygiophobia. This is the fear of hell. This is a good fear. This is a good fear for everybody to have. You know, so that you do the right things and not the wrong stuff. Next slide, please. And then you have testophobia. Fear of taking an exam. Some people, they are smart. It's just that they are not good on exams. Praise the Lord. And then this last one is my personal addition. Tithophobia. The fear of paying tithe. So when it's tithe and offering, they suddenly develop some kind of, they bury their head in the sand like the ostrich. Because they have tithophobia. Praise the Lord. That's just to welcome you to the topic as a manner, as a way of introduction. So let's talk about fear real quick. Fear is defined as an emotion that is induced by perceived threat. Listen to this. It says fear, listen close, fear is induced by perceived threat. The key word there is perceived. What you fear may not be real, and it may be real. A lot of times, and can I get a witness on this one? A lot of times, you are so afraid and petrified that something is going to happen, but it never happened. Do I have any witness in the house? I mean, you were confident that, man, this thing, they are just going to shut me out. They are just not going to give it to me. I'm going to fail this exam. I'm not going to get accepted into the program. This is going to happen. I'm not going to get the job. I did so woefully on the interview. Why would anybody want to hire me? I wouldn't even hire me. I won't hire myself. But then, surprise, surprise, you get hired. A lot of times, because you have been behind on the payment of your vehicle, you have, in fact, you just knew that they are coming to repo your car today. So you are hiding and dodging. And for the past 2-3 months, you have been hiding and dodging, and it has not been repossessed. Many times, the fear that we have, fear is usually, not all the time, but fear is usually futuristic. The things that make us to fear for the most part are things that we anticipate will happen. Not things that, if it has happened, it has happened. We are not afraid anymore. If they're going to, you are afraid they were going to fire you. After you're fired, are you still afraid? No, you're already fired. There's nothing to fear. Most of the time when we fear things we think will happen. And for the most part, you think back. For the most part, they never happen. Friends, there are two different kinds of fear we may have. There's a beneficial fear, and there's a destructive kind of fear. I'm going to get to the scriptures in a little bit. There's fear that is beneficial, and there's fear that is destructive. For the destructive fear, we're going to talk about the destructive fear first of all, and I also have some slides I want to show us very quickly, just to make the point about real and unreal fear. I told you fear is perceived threat. If fear comes as a result of perceived threat, real or unreal. Fighting your fears. Next slide, please. Voice from coughing in a truck. Can everybody read this? Can you read it from where you are? Okay. It says, here's something that sounds like a joke, but it's a tragedy because it really happened in Spain. In Barcelona, a truck was rolling along carrying an empty coffin. A farmer who was hitchhiking thumped a ride. He was bouncing along in the rear of the truck, so they picked him up. He was sitting in the rear of the truck, which was open. When it started raining, all of a sudden, so he's sitting in an open back truck, and it's raining. So he examined the coffin. He found the coffin was empty, and he crawled inside the coffin to keep himself dry. Next slide, please. So he fell asleep. And further on, two other hitchhikers got a ride on the same truck. And they were going along at a lively clip when the farmer inside the coffin pushed open the lid, stuck his head out, and observed, oh, it has stopped raining. The other two hitchhikers were so terrified that they leaped from the speeding truck, they jumped off the truck, and one of them was killed. Was their fear real? No. All the time they were there, the guy was in the coffin. And the guy was not dead, he was alive. But in their own mind, they perceived that they have seen a ghost. So they jumped, and the tragedy ensued. Many of the times when we are afraid like that, I don't want to jump ahead of myself. Be careful what you fear. Be careful what you fear. We will get to the beneficial fear in a little bit. Next slide, please. Rattling toothbrush. And this, believe me, this has happened to me before, but not to this extent. Because my wife buys for me one of those toothbrushes that just bounces by itself. A woman who had just returned from a trip to Mexico came to the Los Angeles police to report that a rattlesnake was loose in her overnight bag. Police went rushing to the scene with sirens screaming and everything. They approached the bag, which the woman had heaved out of a window onto the sidewalk. Next slide, please. Cautiously, they scattered the contents of the bag. I'm sure they had their guns ready to shoot the snake, only to find that the rattle was caused by an electric toothbrush accidentally turned on in the bag. Believe me, she was truly petrified, but her fear was unreal. Most of the things you fear are unreal. Next slide, please. Had feared crocodiles. This is a real fear. The fear of crocodile. Please be afraid when you see crocodile. Brisbane, Australia. A man who had lived in terror of crocodiles was eaten by one 15 feet long with three legs and no tail near Waipa in far north Queensland. An investigation into the death of Peter Ramos, this is a true life story, 35 years old, bear that he was so scared of crocodiles, he never would wade in water more than a few inches deep. So he would make sure the water is just what he can see, and that's where he plays in the water. Next slide, please. Say, but the crocodile was aware of Raymond's habit and stalked him for days before he took him and ate him up. So the crocodile was hiding. He knew he wouldn't go further, so he too was stalking him from behind and ate him. You know, many times when we fear, even though we are afraid of something, but we are still playing around the periphery of it. Many people play with sin. They say, no, I'm not doing it. I'm just looking at it. Amen? The fear of sin is a righteous fear. Praise the Lord. And to run away, the Bible says flee fornication. It didn't say fight fornication. In fact, it didn't say resist fornication because you cannot. Once you get further along, there's no stopping you if there's cooperation between you and the other person. You know, so this guy understood that there was a real danger, but he was still playing with danger. If you are playing with sin, you are playing with the wrong thing. Last Sunday, we were told something, I don't know if you remember, that the ADME told us. He said, unheeded mercy will ultimately result in judgment. It means God, if God has been merciful to you, the reason he's showing you mercy is so that you can repent from your ways. If you refuse to repent, then judgment is going to come to that person. I pray that you will repent. I said, I pray that you will repent in the mighty name of Jesus. And I think there's one more. Yeah. Unhappy Stalin. How unhappy Stalin was. We know Stalin, the former prime minister in Russia. He said he was constantly in fear of being poisoned or killed himself. He had 8 bedrooms. Listen to this. How many of us have seen a bank vault before? The bank vault. He had 8 rooms with those kind of locks, combination lock, so that nobody would come in and kill him. He had 8 bedrooms which could be locked up like safes in a bank. Nobody ever knew in which of these rooms or bedrooms he slept on any given night. But guess what? One day he slept, he had a heart attack, and a few days later he died. It doesn't matter what you insulate yourself with. If God is not in it, it's just a matter of time. He hid himself. Nobody could reach him. But when death came, he couldn't hide from death. Friends, there are certain fears that are real, and there are some that are just unreal. The ones that are unreal are the ones we pay too much attention to. A lot of people continue to live in sin because they cannot see an immediate judgment on their lives. But remember this. It's a very important quote I want you to note. It stuck in my head since that last Sunday. Unheeded mercy. If God is merciful to you, there's a reason why he's showing you mercy. He's showing you mercy so that you can change and come to him. Unheeded mercy will ultimately bring the wrath of God upon the one that is guilty. Please open your Bibles with me to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Why? Because fear has torment. Fear has torment. Torment is anguish, suffering, agony, distress. If you have always been petrified by fear before, you will know what I'm talking about. And I have experienced fear in my past. I can relate with this kind of fear. There was a time I was in deep, deep, deep trouble way back when I was still in Africa. I would sleep and I would be having nightmares dreaming about my problem. It was that bad. I'll be dreaming about my problem. I will wake up breaking out in sweat. And the way I wake up is I'm waking up panicking that now they are here. They're going to arrest me. They're going to take me. They're going to lock me up. And I'm like, then I wake up and I'm like, oh, it was a dream. Guess what? My problem was I did not trust God. I was owing so much money. In fact, the money I owed, 2 or 3 years' wages couldn't have paid it off. And if you're from where I'm from, you will know that they don't do credit system. That you do card note, and you do this note. And there is law, but there are some people that are above the law. If you owe the wrong person, they can pick you up without trial. They can lock you up, and you're going to be there until they feel like they want to release you. There's no lawyer, no attorney, nothing can help you. Now, praise the Lord. So that was the kind of situation I was faced with. I was constantly threatened, and I perceived that threat. I saw that threat as real and very present danger. But guess what? The day that my attention, my focus shifted from that fear, there was one day I went to Bible. It was a Bible study, to church. It was a Bible study. And as the preacher was speaking, he said there are 3 things that will cause you to fear. 3 things will cause a person to fear. Number one, God cannot help me. I thought about it. I said, God can help me. I've not considered that option. And then number two, he said, this thing will shame me. In fact, there was real shame. That one, there was no question, what if not about it. I knew there was real shame. This thing will cause shame. It will bring shame on me, and I'm afraid. I'm afraid that if everybody knows my situation, you know, they're going to be laughing at me. I become the laughing stock of everybody, and I'm afraid. So I want to hide it. I don't want anybody to know. I'm afraid that if anybody knows, this is going to be a problem. So that fear, you are in agony. Just constantly afraid that somebody is going to find out. You can liberate yourself by saying it. Praise the Lord. And then the third thing, he said, when you are afraid, the third thing that can cause you to fear is that this thing will kill me. That is why if somebody has a terminal disease, you know, they are very afraid. Very afraid. Very afraid. My niece died a couple of years ago for no reason, really. Went to the hospital, took her to the hospital. Nobody could do CPR. That was the only reason she died. And she was begging as she was choking. She was begging for her life. Please don't let me die. She had asthma. Don't let me die. She didn't have an inhaler. Don't let me die. She died. So when you perceive that the situation can take your life, because all of us, our first instinct is survival. Nobody wants to die. Anybody here ready to die? Nobody wants to die. Okay. Anybody ready to die? Because it was sounding, looking like I was saying yes. I'm not saying yes. There's plenty of work still to be done. Listen to me. Nobody wants to die. Nobody. I don't care how bad situations are. I don't want to die because I know my tomorrow is better than my today. I have hope that in God, if I can trust in God, he can turn it around. Isn't that true, Irene? He can turn it around. My life has not always been like this. There was a time I was at the university, you know, I went days without food. I'm very acquainted with hunger. That's why till today, if I see food, I'm just happy for food. Say, what would you like to eat? Now you are stressing me. Just give me food, let me eat. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. You know, so when fear is a torment. Fear is a torment. If you see people that are fearful, they are in distress. And one of the reasons we fear, like I said, is because, one, we don't know God enough. We don't know God enough. We don't have confidence in God. That is why our knowledge of God must increase for our fearfulness to decrease. Let's take an example of a destructive kind of fear. And I want us to read very quickly from 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13 from verse 7 to 12. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. Please note that. And he tarried 7 days, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. Verse 11. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore I said, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced, if the Bible you have is yours, please underline that, I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering. Let's look at this king, King Saul. King Saul was the first king in Israel. When the people of Israel rebelled against God and said, we want a king like the rest of the nations, God said, okay, I'll give you a king. Saul was busy minding his business, and God said, okay, you will be the king. He did not apply. There was not an application process. He did not compete. He did not contest. There was no election. He was just appointed. God just selected him that you will be the king. And you see, this Saul is a very interesting character. And I believe this Saul is like many of us. As soon as Saul became king, there was a problem in Jabesh Gilead. In 1 Samuel chapter 11, the people had a problem and they sent a message to Saul. And immediately, Saul was so upset, he got a lamb and he chopped it into pieces and sent it to all of Israel. He said, anybody that will not come with us to go and help the other guys out, this is what we're going to do to him. He said, anybody that will not come with me and the prophet Samuel, when you get home, you read it, 1 Samuel 11, because he knew that he couldn't do it by himself. He didn't have any confidence in himself. The same is true for many of us. When we just give our lives to Christ, we understand dependency. But as we grow in our walk with the Lord, we feel we are now independent. I don't need anybody. I don't need Bible study. What's that? I can study the Bible on my own. I don't need prayer. I don't need any of that. I got it. I got this thing, man. I got it. And God went with him in 1 Samuel 11. They had a great, tremendous success. They decimated the enemy. And in 1 Samuel 13, the Bible says, here's the fear now. The Bible says, as he gathered his army together to fight the enemy. Listen, the Philistines were real enemies. They were men of war. Everybody feared them. So they saw the enemy organizing on the other side, and instead of him organizing on this side, the people were leaving him. So he became afraid. Fear came upon him. He said, the men I have are not enough to fight this enemy. And then they are leaving. The Bible says the people were trembling. They were afraid. They were leaving. But he did not remember the story of Gideon. Praise the Lord. Gideon put together a 30,000 men army. God said there are too many. He trimmed them down to 300. With 300 men, he destroyed the enemy. Friends, listen to me. It's whether by few or by many, God is able to deliver you. Praise the Lord. Many people, many of us believers, we look down on ourselves. But you are wired for great success. If God be for you, who can be against you? 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 18. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 18. Apostle Paul wrote, he said, notwithstanding, God stood with me. Is somebody here? Notwithstanding, God stood with me. Look at 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Friends, if you will trust God, God will stand by you. If you will believe God, God will stand by you. And it will strengthen you. And there is no opposition that you cannot overcome. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. He said, God stood by me. So the people began to leave him. And because the people were leaving him, he forced himself to do the wrong thing. Do you know that is how many people are pressurized to do stuff? We call it peer pressure. Everybody's doing it. Why are you focused on me? Why are you talking about me? I'm not the only one. Everybody's doing it. I will never forget, there was a young lady many, many, many years ago. I think this was 92 or 93 in our church, way back when in Africa. This lady, they called her and they said, sis, it has come to our attention that you are not living a good Christian testimony. We heard that you are living in fornication. He said, and then? And after that, what are you talking? Am I the only one? He said, everybody is doing it. Why are you talking to me? The question I had for her was, how did she conclude that they have not spoken to the other people? The fact that they are talking to you now does not mean they have not spoken to the other people. What they are telling you is, mind yourself. Stay on your own lane and walk this walk. The Bible says, because we know the terror of God, he said, we warn all men. Because we understand that this God, the mercy, only lasts for while we're here. Once we die, the only thing that is remaining is judgment. There's no correction in death. We can only fix the problems while we're alive. And many people are taking for granted the grace and the mercy of God. So this Saul, the Bible says, he forced himself. He could no longer wait for Samuel. He couldn't wait for Samuel anymore. And guess what? The effects of destructive fear, when you begin to force yourself to do things like that, while he was considering the enemy and the people leaving, guess what he was going through? He was going through agony. There was turmoil inside of him. He could not see God. He could not trust God. He could not believe that whether by few or many, God is able to save him. In the same chapter, the Bible tells us that His son, Jonathan, was doing exploits. And after the exploits of Jonathan, he said, go announce to everybody, see what Saul has done. Why? He did not have any confidence in himself and no confidence in his God. Friends, I don't care what situation you are faced with. Trust me, there's no problem I have today that is bigger than God. There's nothing you are going through or will ever go through that will be too much for God. And God will go, oh me, how am I going to do it? It's not going to happen. You know, sometimes you bring your matter to a person, and as much as they love you, they can't help you. You know, you could tell from the look on their face that if this person had $1 million, he would give it all to me. But breaking news, they don't have it. If they had it, you just know. You can sense the vibe, the aura. You could know that this person, he could really help me. Friends, the one that truly can help you and I is the Almighty God himself. The Almighty God has all the power and all the resources. The Bible says the cattle upon a thousand hills, they belong to him. That is the one that you and I ought to fear. Not the situation, not the people. Because the fear of the situation is not going to bring any solutions to you. As much as I feared my situation in 1993, it didn't change the situation. Until that day I went to service and I had those three things, I said, well, this thing can't kill me. Yes, it will cause me shame. That's about it. You know, shame, big deal. Number three, God cannot help me. I said, God can help me. That was where I got courage. And I began to pray. From that day, I didn't have any nightmares anymore. Why? Because my focus shifted from fear to faith and trusting God. And guess what? Within a month from that time, I got a gift. Somebody say gift. Gift. Gift, like a grant. Gift. Gift you don't pay back. I got a gift twice the amount I was owing. Is somebody hearing me? The moment my focus shifted from fear to faith, everything changed. The situation changed. I mean, it took a process of time. I don't want to lie. I can't lie. It took a process of time. But from that day, I was sleeping well. I still didn't have the money, but I was happy. Because I knew God can help me. I know in whom I have believed. And I know he will not let me down. I was confident of that one thing, and I held on to it. From that day, that destructive kind of fear was not my problem anymore. I held on to God. And within like a month. In fact, the move that changed my story, I resisted. I fought and fought. I said, come. I said, I'm not coming. Come. I said, I'm not coming. Come. I said, I'm not coming. Then finally, I said, okay, let me just go. So I went. When they saw me, my mom was almost crying. I'd lost so much weight. I used to have big pot belly. My tummy was flat. I mean, real hunger. When you talk of hunger, I'm not talking about skipping a meal. I'm talking about skipping days of food. No, 0, 0, 0. For 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And I was not praying. It wasn't fasting and praying. You know, when you are fasting and praying, at least you have a focus. My only focus during those hunger days was fear. And the more the hunger mammered my stomach, the more fearful I got. Fear is a torment, is what I want you to understand today. It is more beneficial for you to trust God than to fear the situation. Because the fact that you put your trust in God, God will not let you down. Oh, somebody didn't hear that. I said, God will not let you down. In the mighty name of Jesus. Friends, number one effect of destructive fear is torment. Number two, it paralyzes you and restricts and limits you. Anybody ever had this experience? You had a terrible dream. And then you woke up. You want to scream Jesus. You can't scream Jesus. You want to plead the blood. You can't plead the blood. You want to move. You can't move. You are just paralyzed because of fear. I'll tell you a quick story and then I'll move on. Listen to this. This must have been, of course, that was before I came here, maybe the year 2000 or so. I just woke up in the middle of the night. I was still back in Nigeria at the time. I woke up in the middle of the night, and I just had this feeling that there was an evil presence in my apartment. I don't know if you have ever felt it before. I just felt an evil presence, you know, and I was paralyzed on my bed. Then I began to pray. I was praying. Then I got up. When I got up, it was just myself and my daughter, Damilola, you know, and that night she slept in my room. Thanks be to God. She slept in my room. So I got up. Then I looked in my kitchen. I know I turned off the light. The light was on. And then I saw the pot of stew on the floor. I'm like, what's going on here? So I went to the living room. I saw my living room door open. See, I'm one of those people that I will check the door, I will lock it, then I'll go away. I do something for some time, you know. I'm like, did I lock the door? Let me go check. I check a second time. I'm not compulsive. I don't do it 10 times. You know, once I check it that second time, I'm good. You know, so I'm not careless like that is the point I'm trying to make. I knew for sure I locked that door. So my first instinct was to lock the door. Then it occurred to me that if I had a burglary and the burglars were still in the house and I locked the door, that would not be nice. Let me leave a way of escape for them. It's good for them, it's good for me. So I went back, I went to my daughter's room, I saw the whole place, they had scattered it. My house had been burglarized. Listen to me, if somebody will come to your, and I was a big boy, you know, big fat belly, everything. You know, if you will come to a man's house like that, you don't come hoping that he doesn't wake up. You come prepared that if he wakes up, I will whack him on the head and he'll be knocked out or shoot him or kill him or something. That thought, the thought of what could have happened, they are gone, by the way. There's nobody there. But I was still petrified. I was just there. I said, I was assistant pastor. I said, no 911, by the way. No 911. Okay, for the curious minds, I think you call 911. No 911 in Nigeria. I was just petrified. I was almost peeing on myself. You know, my room, the door to my room was open. They must have seen, they entered my room, by the way. I was sleeping. The Bible says he gives his beloved sweet sleep. I don't have any problem sleeping. I work hard enough. When I hit the bed, 30 seconds, I'm sleeping. My wife said, you just came to bed. I said, that's okay. I'm sleeping already. Bed is sleeping place. So I'm knocked down. They entered my room. I had some cash in my chest of drawer. They took it. If somebody would have entered my room and do all of that, they came prepared. They came very prepared. When I woke up, I was so afraid, I was just shaking. What has happened has happened. I'm just now afraid of what could have happened. You see how we mess with ourselves? When we sit down and we begin to think, if they don't pay me, I won't pay my car note. I won't pay my mortgage. Oh, my credit card bill. And then we just build a huge monster against ourselves that we are not able to defend ourselves against. And our hearts are troubled. And you can no longer focus. And the torment, it just holds you down and limits you. I couldn't do anything. I froze. That is what destructive fear does to you. It limits you from making progress. It limits you from seeing the opportunities that can still be in spite of where you are. Friends, it is not over until it is over. Can you preach it to your neighbor, please? Don't let anybody deceive you that it's over for you. You can never make it. I can make it and I will make it. Oh, you didn't hear what I just said. I said, I can make it and I will make it. My story will change in the name of Jesus, the God of wonders, the one that does wonders without numbers. It will make me an example of his wonders without number. And so will it do for you in the name of Jesus. Friends, those kind of fear, they limit you. They don't let you make progress. They hold you down. And they cause you to make bad decisions, just like in the case of Saul. Have you ever thought you are in a situation and say, I got to do something. I got to do something. When you find yourself in a situation that you are saying, I got to do something, don't do anything yet. That's the time for you to wait on the Lord. Because you have entered a phase of desperation and you will just do anything just to get by. Praise the Lord. Saul became desperate. The Bible says he said, I forced myself, therefore. That is what we do in times of fear. We make bad, very poor decisions. That by the time it's all said and done, you look back. You don't need any counselor. You counsel yourself that was bad, man. That was bad choice. That was bad choice. Exactly what Saul was trying to save, he lost. Let me quickly talk about beneficial fear. Beneficial fear is the fear of the Lord. Friends, I have noticed that a lot of people love God, but they still live in sin. Your love for God will not stop you from sinning. Hello? Okay, don't be quiet on me now. Do you know anybody that loves God and sin? If you know one person, raise your hand. Yourself. As an honest person. David, your love for God will not stop you from sinning. It's your fear of God that will restrict you from sinning. The Bible says we know the wrath of God. We know the terror of God. So there's a side of God that is terrifying. He said, because we know the terror of God, we warn men to be careful, to watch their lives. Be careful. Everything that glitters is not gold. The summation of your life is not what you have. Amen? How well I'm doing is not determined by how much stuff I have. There are people with no stuff that are better than a lot of people with a lot of stuff. Your life is not defined and described and determined by stuff. Neither is my life. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. To love God, to honor God, to reverence God is the place I want to be. The fear of God, the Bible says, will cause us to depart from evil. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 6. Proverbs 16 verse 6. He said, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. The fear we need. The Bible has a lot to say about fear. And for the most part, is the fear of the Lord the scripture talks about. It says the fear of the Lord is to what? Depart from evil. When you fear God, evil will be far from you. You will not be an evildoer yourself, and evil will not come upon you. In the name of Jesus. In Malachi chapter 1 verse 6. Malachi chapter 1 verse 6. The Bible says, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father unto you, where is my honor? If I be a master, what? Where is my fear? Where is my fear? If I am a father unto you, if I am your God, if I am your master, God is saying, where is my fear? We will fear people. We will fear situations. We will fear circumstances, but we don't fear God. And the Bible tells us, Matthew chapter 10, it said, don't fear the one that can kill the flesh. It said, fear the one that can take this flesh, the soul, and everything and cast it to hell. So that's the one you must fear. Friends, the fear that benefits us is the fear that we lack. The fear that is unproductive is the one we have an abundance of. The Lord will change that order in the name of Jesus. Friends, when the fear of God is present, the other kind of fear cannot impact your life in any way. Why? Because God is bigger, God is stronger, God is mightier than my situation. Amen? Amen? Number two, the Bible says in Psalm 111 and verse 10, Psalm 111, verse 10. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Listen, the fear of God is a beneficial kind of fear. And it says, first of all, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 6 that we read earlier, it says, when I have the fear of God, one of the benefits I stand to gain is that evil will depart from me. Number two here, Psalm 111 verse 10 is telling you and I that when I fear God, guess what? I will have wisdom. I will have wisdom. Understanding will be added to me. So will knowledge be added to me. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Number three, very quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 19. Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 19. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all his words. The fear of the Lord will ultimately result in obedience to God. And remember, Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19. The Bible says, if I am willing and obedient, I will eat the fruit of the land. Friends, what you need is not difficult for God to give to you. What I need is not difficult for God to give. But God is wanting to know my obedience. Where is my heart? Listen, watch this. I don't have a whole lot right now. I'm disobedient to God. You think having a whole lot more is going to make me obedient to God? In fact, some people, the reason they are not committing certain sins now is because they can't afford it. It's funny to you, but it's the truth. The reason some people are not committing certain sin now is because they don't have the money to finance it. I love you, Lord. A Prince of Peace, there is no like. Let money enter their pocket. Praise the Lord. God knows what I need. God knows what I need. And if I am willing and obedient to this God, he will meet every one of my need in the mighty name of Jesus. Friends, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 4. Listen to this. Proverbs 22 and verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. You want riches? Fear the Lord. You want honor? Fear the Lord. You want abundant life? Fear the Lord. Friends, there is a lot of goodness in the fear of the Lord. But the enemy knows this, and that is why the enemy has focused our attention on the wrong things. We talked about different kinds of fear. You know, when Jesus was going back to heaven, the one instruction he gave to his disciples, he said, go out, go preach the gospel. Make disciples of all nations. You know, one of the reasons we don't evangelize anymore is we're afraid. What would they think of me? They're going to think I'm a fanatic. But we have fans of sports team, and nobody's worried about them. They are so much fanatical about the sports team. Their car is painted sports. Their house is sports. They are everywhere. You can't know them for 5 minutes and not know that this is a sports fan. They are fanatic about the sports team. Dallas Cowboys, you see them, their shirt is Dallas Cowboys. Their pen, Dallas Cowboys. Their shoes, Dallas Cowboys. Their this, Dallas Cowboys. Everything is Dallas Cowboys. But just the believers, we want to be politically correct. We can't share the gospel anymore. We are so petrified of what people will think of us. Why? Because we have not made ourselves like Jesus. The Bible says Jesus made himself of no reputation. Listen to this. He made himself of no reputation, so therefore he was able to do all the things that his Father required of him to do without him thinking of his status. Many of us still have reputation, that's why we can't preach the gospel. Many of us still have reputation, that's why we can't tell anybody else about Jesus. Because you are worried about what they will think about who you are. I pray that that will change today. I pray that we will live in the fear of God rather than the fear of men. The fear of men will result in destruction. Destruction is at the end of it. But the fear of the Lord would lead to life. Please rise to your feet. With every eye closed, every head bowed, I want you to just think for a minute. Please think for a minute. What is it that you fear the most at this time? Place every eye closed, every head bowed. Just talk to the Lord. It's between you and God right now. Right now, as we speak, what is it that you fear the most? You're afraid that you can't make it. You're afraid that the future doesn't look bright. You're afraid that nothing good is going to happen to you. What I tell you today, that's the lie of the devil. That's a lie from the pit of hell. If you are living right with God, if you are walking right with God, he has said in his word, I will never leave you, neither will I forsake you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. That is what he says. And Apostle Paul was able to confidently declare, he said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Please think about those fears now. And I want you to lay them at the feet of Christ. I want you to lay them at the feet of Christ. I want you to lay them at the feet of Christ. I'm going to make two invitations. We're going to pray and then we're going to close. You're here. You know you have been overtaken by fear. I don't know the fear of what, but you know what? We're going to pray this morning and the Lord will deliver you from every such fear. Amen. In the name of Jesus. And maybe you have not given your life to Jesus. Friends, this is very important. That connection is what is going to finally break the hold of fear, that torment of fear upon your life. If you fall into any of these two categories, I want you to come forward very quickly. Our time is fast spent. We're going to close in the next 5 minutes or so. You know you are overtaken by fear. You are overtaken. In fact, now you are afraid to come forward because of fear. Don't be afraid. God wants to set you free. That is the duty, the responsibility of God. It is within his power to break that hold upon your life. I'm going to ask the ministers to please come and help me here. Very quickly, or you want to give your life to Christ, you want to rededicate your life to Christ, or you have certain fears, whatever fear it is, the Lord would, it will break the hold of that fear upon your life. In the name of Jesus. Please stretch forth your hands towards them. Stretch forth your hands towards them. I want the ministers to please lay hands on them. Please. Please. Ask the kind of fear they are willing to share, you know about it and pray. Pray. Let's pray for them. Thank God that you are free from fear. Thank God that you are not held down. You are not limited by any form of fear. But this morning we can agree with our brethren, our brothers and sisters, that God will deliver them from every form of fear in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, we started today by saying God loves you with an everlasting kind of love. And that is the truth. The enemy will want to convince us that we are forsaken and we are forgotten. But friends, believe me when I say this today, God has not forgotten you. Amen. God has not forsaken you.
Amen.
Abraham and his wife Sarah thought God had forgotten. So they took matters into their own hands. And the world is still suffering from it till today. Friends, God will never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Why don't you lift up your hands in gratitude and surrender to the Lord? Lord, we thank you. Lord, we give you praise. We appreciate you. We adore you. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. All the glory and honor, dominion and power be unto you. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your word today. Lord, as you have laid it upon my heart, I have shared with your people. Lord, I pray that every fear, every unrighteous fear, every destructive fear that has been plaguing your people, that the hold is completely destroyed today. In the name of Jesus. Lord, your word says you will strengthen with might by your spirit in the inner man. Lord, give us strength in the inner man to do your will, to walk with you, to show forth your praise, to love you more, to serve you more, to please you more, all the days of our lives, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, as we bring the service to a close today, we ask, oh God, that you take all the glory, take all the honor, take all the preeminence unto yourself, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, this week, oh God, I pray, let us walk with you better than we have ever done in a very, very long time.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, too many of us look back and we remember when we just give our lives to Christ, how we were burning for you. Lord, rekindle the fire.
Amen.
Father, rekindle the fire.
Yes,
in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, blessed Redeemer.
Thank you.
That is, silence the enemy, oh God. And let your power, let your glory come forth and radiate from our lives. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Amen. Let's share the grace in fellowship. May the grace.